Okay, good vach, everybody. Today's daf. First of all, thank you for coming on the Motzai Shabbos for the special Motzai Shabbos edition of the Daf Yomi Shir. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Mem Test. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also sadly now it is the Zecher Nishmas Hagon Harav Kelmer Shlita from Young Israel of Asemsa. I don't know his father's name. Harav Yehuda Ben. I don't know his father's name, but Neshama Shev and Aliyah from the Zechus of Our Learning, and if anyone here knew Rabbi Kelmer or did not know Rabbi Kelmer, I would strongly recommend that you listen carefully to all the stories you hear about him in the coming days and weeks. The man was a tzaddik of unparalleled caliber. And also sponsored by the Outdoor Minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan, L'Zechus Refuah Shlema for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael Benita, who is currently in the ICU fighting COVID, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Tova Rosa, who is also in the ICU, the Yeshiva Refuah Shlema, B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. Okay, on this daf, we're going to first discuss when exactly, we have three different opinions, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, when a person is supposed to get rid of their chametz. That's going to be the first Mishnah. Then the next Mishnah is going to talk about what somebody should do if he's traveling on Erev Pesach, and then he realizes that he still has chametz back at home. So what should you do about the chametz back in your house? Can you just rely on bittul, or do you have to go all the way back in order to destroy the chametz? And since one of the examples in the Mishnah is going to be about going to a Su'udas Erisin, the Gemara is going to discuss whether a Su'udas Erisin is considered a Su'udas Mitzvah, and that's going to lead to a discussion of marrying a Bas Kohen and a Bas Talmud Chacham, and then the rest of the daf is going to talk about Amei Ha'aretz and how terrible Amei Ha'aretz are. And at the very end of the daf, which we're probably not going to get to tonight, the daf is going to have a discussion about the minimum amount of kachim food that a person would have to bring back to burn in Yerushalayim if he brought it outside of Yerushalayim, and the minimum amount of food that one would have to recite Birchas HaMazon on after eating. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the top of Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Arba Asur Shechalios B'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and therefore you can't burn the chametz on time, you can't burn the chametz on Shabbos. Obviously, it's Melacha D'Oraisa. Mevarinas Hakol Milufnei Shabbos. Divra Meir. Meir says you should burn all of the chametz, whether it be chulin, whether it be truma, before Shabbos. Just leave over enough, the way Rashi understands, just leave over enough to be able to eat on Shabbos. But whatever you plan on destroying, you should destroy right away. The Baal Amar writes that according to Rabbi Meir, you're not allowed to leave any chametz over, not even that which you plan on eating on Shabbos. You have to get rid of everything from before Shabbos because we're afraid that you may miscalculate and you're going to end up with too much chametz left over on Shabbos. What should you do about the Suda Shabbos? You do need to eat Su'udos of Shabbos. So says the Baal Amar, eat matzah. You'll eat matzah for the Su'udos of Shabbos. Now that seems to be against the Yerushalmi. The Rif quotes from a Yerushalmi that someone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is ki'ilu is boel arusaso bebeis chamav. It's as if he sleeps with his arusa while they do not yet have nisu, and she has not yet moved into his house. And someone who's boel arusaso bebeis chamav gets malchus. So apparently there is some sort of iser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. The Bahag writes in the name of Minhage Rashi that the reason for the iser is because it says Be'erev Toklu Matzos. Prichadur says Mashba from there that it's an iser da'oraisa, that it's a lava ba mechal asay, and a lava ba mechal asay is an asay, that the mitzvah is to eat matzah Be'erev, and if we eat it before the Erev, so then you're not allowed to, that's an iser asay. However, others understand that no, it's that there's no extra drasha from Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, because we're going to learn later on Daf Kuf Chaf that we have other drashos from that pasuk, and rather you have to say that it's an asmachta bialma, and that the Yisr is only Nisr Drabban, and that's how the Pri Chadash concludes, and that's why the Rambam writes, the Rambam in Hilchos Chavitza Matzah, Perek Vav, Alach Yud Beis, says that Asru Chachamim, the Chachamim Asru eating matzah on Erev Pesach, so that there will be a hacker for the Achila Be'erev. But that's the din of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. So the Baal Amar seems to understand that you can eat matzah on Erev Pesach in this situation, because probably even if it is Nisr Drabanan, the Rabbanan would not be gozer in such a case. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim when exactly that Isser begins. Some of the Rishonim understand that the Isser is only from the Zman of the Isser of Achilas Chametz, and the Baal Amar writes, yeah, the Yerushalmi compares it to being Boel Arusasu Beis Chamav, so you have to have had Erisin already. When do you have Erisin with the matzah? It's only once there's an isra of achilas chametz. So that's when the isra begins. Only when the time of the isra of achilas chametz begins. Whereas other rishonim say no, it's the entire day of erev Pesach. This is always the tricky situation when erev Pesach is chal b'Shabbos. How is one supposed to be able to fulfill three seudos on Shabbos? It always becomes more challenging. Certainly after the zman of achilas chametz, how to fulfill the mitzvah of seudos Shabbos. But anyway, let's go back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah told us so far that Rabbi Meir tells us, get rid of whatever you can before Shabbos. That's when you do your biru chametz. The Chum say, no, the time to get rid of chametz is Erev Pesach, even if it happens to be Shabbos. So you don't have to get rid of any chametz before Shabbos. Leave it all over until Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, you'll be Mevayer the chametz. How are you going to be Mevayer the chametz? However, you're allowed to be Mevayer the chametz, meaning Eino Chinami, you're not going to be allowed to burn the chametz. So be Mefarer Vizara L'Ruach. There are other ways to destroy the chametz, and you'll take advantage of one of those other ways to destroy the chametz. That's also a question of the Rishonim. Are there other ways? Are you allowed to be mefarer v'zorah l'ruach on Shabbos? You're allowed to crumble up chametz and throw it into the wind on the Shabbos? We learned about mefarer v'zorah l'ruach back on Matiliyam, back on Daf Chav Ches, whether even if you're Matiliyam, whether you have to be mefarer first, the Gemara at a Suffolk, whether you have to crumple it up first. But the Balamor and the Talmud Rash were right that it's mutter to be mefarer v'zorah l'ruach on Shabbos, and the Bach quotes that initially in the name of the Smak and the Rokeach that it's usher to be mefarer v'zorah l'ruach on Shabbos. Why? Because of tircha on Shabbos, that it's too much of a tircha to go through such a thing, to go crumbling up all the chametz and throwing it into the wind. And also there were choshesh that if you throw it into the wind, you may be throwing the chametz into a rishus rabbim, and it's going to be a violation of the isra of hotza'a. Now it's probably pachus mikashir. Each food item has a shir that's chasha for the violation of hotza'a. But in the end, the smack writes that the ikar is like the balamar, that it's mutter to be mefarer v'zorah l'ruach. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Mem Vav says that one may not do so, and he says that it could be that when you're zora l'ruach, it's a malacha d'oraisa. He says it's just like if one spits into the air on Shabbos and the wind scatters the saliva all over the place, where the Rama writes in Siman Shin Yotes in the name of the Yerushalmi that you're chayiv mishum zora. So Rabbi Kiveger in a tshuva in Madura Kama Siman Chav proves from the Bala Ma'ar that it's not a din of zora, that this is not a violation of the Melech of Zorah, and he explains that according to the Rif and the Rambam, do not quote the Yerushalmi about spitting being a violation of Zorah. Why not? Because apparently, says Rabbi Kiveger, the Rif and the Rambam understood that the Bavli holds that Zorah is only violated when you have some sort of borer happening, when there's some sort of sorting, ochel and psolas that's happening, meaning Zorah is a malacha that's in the category of like merakeid and borer, where you have to be sorting something out from something else. To just stomp, throw something in the air, and that it scatters all over the place, that is not the malacha of Zorah, so says Rabbi Kiva Eger. Right? This is the shayla that people have when they have like crumbs on the tablecloth and they want to just shake it out outside. So is that a violation of the malacha of Zorah? So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, pashtus is not, because you're not really sorting anything from anything else, and therefore it's not Zorah. Back in the Mishnah, so again, the Chum say that you do it bizmano. Reb Elazar ben Tzadok omer truma milifnei Shabbos. That truma that a zar is not allowed to eat, and animals are not allowed to eat, or animals of a zar are not allowed to eat, you have to be mivar before Shabbos because you may not be able to get rid of it on Shabbos. But the chulin bizmanon, but any chametz that's chulin, you could just wait until the zman biur on erev Pesach shchal b'Shabbos and get rid of it at that point in time. So says the Gemara. Tanya, Reb Elazar ben Tzadok omer pamachas shavas. One time my father, Rabbi Tzadik, was spending Shabbos in Yavne, and Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, and Zunin, the person's name, who happened to have been the Gabbai of Ram Gamliel, came and he told us it's time to be Mevar the Chametz, and I followed my father, Rabbi Tzadik, and we were Mevar the Chametz. So you see a raya that you're allowed to be Mevar Chametz on Shabbos, because they used to do that. So the Rishon and raise the question: What kind of raya is that? That you're allowed to do the, even according to Rav Meir, you don't have to that you're mevayer everything before Shabbos. There is some biur chametz that happens on Shabbos for whatever you left over for the seudos of Shabbos and you didn't finish. You have to be mevayer that, right? When you finish that seuda on erev Pesach shchal b'Shabbos, you know that seuda that you're having like on your patio over a plastic or whatever, and you need to watch every crumb and you have it. So if you don't finish everything up, you got got to get rid of whatever you didn't finish. So even according to Rav Meir, you have something. So this seems to be a riot to the sheet of the Baal HaMa'or, that the Baal HaMa'or said, no, you're not even allowed to leave those couple of challah rolls to be able to eat on Shabbos. According to Rav Meir, everything's got to be gotten rid of before Shabbos, and that's why this is taka a good raya. Okay, next Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses the following case. Aholeich lishchot es pischo. Person is going to shecht his korban Pesach, v'lamal es beno, or he's going to give his child a bris milah, v'lechol sudas erisin bebeis chamiv, or he's going to his father-in-law's house to enjoy a su'udas erisin. When a kala is bebeis avia, that's erisin, right? Once she moves, the base baila, that's nisuin. So that's why we always use the expression bebeis chamiv, both in a literal and figurative sense. She is still bebeis avia. V'niskar sheyesh lo chametz b'soch beiso. And then he remembers he still has chametz back at home. So im yochol lachzor levar v'lachzor lemitzvah. So if he's able to get back home and be mevar the chametz and still make it back to shech the korban pesach or to do the bris milah, yachzor v'yevar. So he should go back and do that. But v'imlav, if he's not going to have time to make it back and still do the mitzvahs that he's on his way to do, then mevatel belibo. Then he should just do bittul and rely on the fact that he's doing bittul. So the Mishnah gave three examples of a mitzvah that one might be involved in, that one might be trying to do when he remembers that he has chametz in his house. So it's interesting that these are the three examples of a mitzvah that the Mishnah comes up with, meaning it really, l'chora, could have been any mitzvah. Okay, so I get the first example. Lishchot es pischo. We're learning Pesachim, so of course you're going to give the example about shechting a korban Pesach. But a bris milah, that he's going to give his child a bris milah, what does that have to do with that? I mean, you could pick any mitzvah. Why would you pick going lamal espino? And then the third example, to eat a su'uda bebeis chametz. Of the three mitzvahs in the world, why do these three mitzvahs get chosen as the examples? The point is just that you're doing a mitzvah. So some of the Rishonim say that when the Mishnah says that he's going lishchot es pischo v'lamal es beno, it doesn't mean either lishchot es pischo or lamal es beno. No, it means both. That he's going to shech the korban Pesach and to give his son a bris milah. This is what Rabbeinu Yohanan son Miluniel writes. And that's why he doesn't go back, because he can't, he's not going to be able to delay the zman of the milah, because the milah of his child is going to be ma'akev him from eating korban Pesach. The Gemara is a drasha later on, a daf tzadivav, that if you still have to give your child a bris milah and you haven't, you're not going to be able to eat the korban Pesach. So the Meiri writes, if he's going lamal es beno when he doesn't need to shech the korban Pesach, he's bederech rechoka, or it's bizman az, where there's no korban Pesach, then he cannot be somich on bittul. Then he's got to go back home and be mevar the chametz, because he could delay the mila if he needed to. But then Rabbeinu Yonasan Miluniel says, nah, more likely that the Mishnah is talking about even if he's just going to be malish child without anything to do with korban Pesach, even bizman hazeh, he still would not go back home. And Rabbeinu Yonasan explains, because the mitzvah of mila bizmana is a mitzvah daraisa. Sometimes people feel that, oh, once I'm not doing the mila, you know, I could do the milah whenever I want, as long as it gets done. No, doing a milah bizmana, as opposed to day late, is a mitzvah da'oraisa. And that's going to be doche biur chametz, because biur chametz, if you could just do bittul, is downgraded to only a mitzvah midrabanan. But what about this notion of lechol sudas erisin bebeis chamav? How did that sneak its way into our Mishnah? So the Yerushalmi writes that bo re'ei magodol hu ha'shalom shuhukash l'shnei dvarim shechayavan alein kares. There are only two mitzvahs say in the Torah for which you chayav kares, and those are the first two examples that the Mishnah gave, Mila and Karban Pesach. And what's the third example? Spend some time with your in-laws. That's the third example, to be ochel suda. So gadol ha-shalom, look at the value of shalom, that the Mishnah put that on the same level as the other two, that's the message, that yeah, you explained to them, you had chametz, you had to go back, but they'll be disappointed that you couldn't be there on time to enjoy the suda with them, and that will be made for the shalom bayis. And that a person should not sacrifice the shalom bayis. So says, or at least implies, the Yerushalmi, that gadol ha-shalom, that's the point over here. Now that's if a person's going to do a mitzvah where it can wait, where it's not something that's of immediate need, that it be done as soon as possible. But lahatzil min anachr, min anar, min alista, min adleikum, min amapoles, yivata belibo. But if someone's life is at stake, someone is being attacked by nachrim, by bandits, a river is overflowing, there's a fire raging, there's a building that caved in, and there are people trapped in the rubble, you don't say, oh, let me go back and see, maybe I have time still to go be Mevayir the Chametz, and then I'll come back and save the people later. No, every moment you delay might cost lives. It's like if you have extra vaccines to say, ah, yeah, but it's the holiday weekend, so, you know, we'll take some time off, and we'll vaccinate when we get around to it. That's ridiculous. What kind of backward place would ever do such a thing, right? You do it as quickly as you can when people are dying. You got to take care of whatever you have to take care of. This is a non-political shir, but just I couldn't help myself. V'lishmo shvisas harashus. And if a person is going to be shovish shvisas harashus, to make Stam an Erev Tchumen so that he could travel a little bit further on Shabbos to go, or on Yantif, to be able to go more than Alpaya Mama, so that's not a Dvar Mitzvah, so then Yachzor Miyad, then you go back right away, then you have no reason to say, oh, this is so important to me that I should be able to travel. It's not so important that a person should be able to travel. Now, what exactly does that mean, a Shvisas Harashus, that a person is going for a Shvisas Harashus? So this is a discussion among the Rishonim also. What exactly we mean by a Shvisas HaRashus. Because on the one hand, the halacha, it sounds like you're just going stam because you want to be able to travel more. However, there is a machlokas whether you're allowed to make an Erev Tchumen when it's not for the sake of a Dvar Mitzvah. So if you're not allowed to make an Erev Tchumen when it's not for the sake of a Dvar Mitzvah, so how could it be that it's a Shvisas HaRashus? And therefore the Bach and Simon Tav Mem Dalit and the Magen Avraham over there as well say that the fact that you're only allowed to be ma'ariv l'dvar mitzvah, even if you hold like that shita, that you're only allowed to be ma'ariv l'dvar mitzvah, that's if you're using a box of matzahs to make your Erev Tchumen. But remember from when we learned Erevin that there's a difference between expanding your Tchum Shabbos by putting some food out there and making that your makom shvisa versus being ma'ariv baraglov, by going there and being there yourself. And being ma'ariv baraglov is a stronger form of Eruv. So it may be true that you're only allowed to be ma'ariv l'dvar mitzvah, but that's only if you're sending a box of matzahs out there. But if you're going to go baraglov, then even if it's not a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to go and be make the Eruv. So that's the idea of shvisas harashus over here. And then the Mishnah says, you know, once we're on the topic of whether you have to go back or you can just continue going about your day, the Mishnah tells us, v'chein mi sheyatzim Yerushalayim v'nizkar sheyesh l'biyado basar kodesh. If a person is leaving Yerushalayim and he remembers that he has basar kodesh, he has kachim kalim in his hands. Now, kachim kalim do not have to be eaten in the azara, but they have to be eaten within the chomos of Yerushalayim. It's a puzzle if it goes outside of Yerushalayim, and the halacha is that you have to bring it back and burn it in Yerushalayim. Pasuk in the Torah, b'kodesh lo tochol be'esh tisaref, that b'makom achilaso sham tehes refaso, that the very place where you eat it, that's where it has to be burnt. So im avar tsofim, if you've already passed a place called Sofim, which Rashi points out is a place from where you can still see the Makom HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, Sorvo B'Mekomo. So then you burn it wherever you are. You're too far away, the Chum were not Matriach, a person, to go all the way back to Yerushalayim if he's that far away. But Vim Lav, Chozer V'Sofel Fnei Abira Matzeh Ma'aracha. But if he's not yet past the Makom called Sofim, so he's got to go back to a place outside of the Azara where they would burn the Kachim Kalim that became Pasul and burn it there using the Atzei Maracha, which is what they would use to burn such Kachim, meaning the wood that was meant to be arranged on the Mizbeach HaChitzon to burn the Karbanos. They would use such wood for burning the Kachim that became Pasul as well. The Ad Kama Hin Chozrin, how much do you have to have with you to say that it's worth going back, that if you're not yet at Sofim, you still need to go back? How much quantity of meat? So Rameir Omer Zev Zev Bekabetza. Rameir says, both as far as Chametz is concerned and as far as Kachim is concerned, if you have a kibetza, then we talk about going back. But less than the kibetza, just be mevata the chametz, burn the basar kachim wherever you are, you don't have to worry about it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zev zev kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the shear is not a kibetza, shear is a kezayis. V'cham omer, basar kodesh, v'kezayis, v'chametz, v'kibetza. Then it depends. Basar kodesh, the shear shears of kazayas, but by chametz shears is going to be a kabet. So we're probably not going to get to it tonight, but at the very end of the daf, the Gemara discusses, we'll probably do it tomorrow morning, that the Gemara discusses where these numbers come from, a kazayas, a kabet, so why it would be one way or the other. So now says the Gemara, urim minhu, I'll ask you the following stira, meaning the Mishnah had said that you're going to a sudas erisin. So that was on the list, we made a big deal about it before, that's on the list together with Karban Pesach, Bris Milah, that's a big mitzvah, Sudas Erisin. So says Gemara Minu, but I'll quote you a brisa. HaHolech Lechel Sudas Erisin Beis Chamev. If a person's going to have a Sudas Erisin in his father-in-law's house, V'lishbo Shvisas HaRashus, where someone is going to make an Erev Tchumen, he's going to have a Shvisas HaRashus. So look at the category you put it in right now, that a Suda Beis Chamev is the same as Shvisas HaRashus. Yachzor Miyad. So you can go back, you should go back right away and burn the Chametz, even though he's not going to have time to do what he initially intended to do. He's not going to be able to make it back to the Suda Seirsin. He's not going to be able to make it back to make his Erev Tchumen. So, but apparently the Suda Seirsin is only Rashus. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kasha, not a Stira, HaRabbi Yudar, Rabbi Yossi, it's a machlokas tanoim. Detanya suda serusin rishos tiv Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the suda serusin rishos. Rabbi Yossi yomer mitzvah, and Rabbi Yossi holds that the suda serusin is a mitzvah. So the Mishnah is following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi and puts it together with Mila and with Karban Pesach, and the Brisa follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that it's only a rishos and puts it together with making your erev tchumen. V'hasha domer Rav Chista machlokas b'suda shniyah v'b'suda rishona divrei kol mitzvah. But now that we know that Rav Chista told us that even the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether it's a mitzvah or rishos, is only about the second Suda, apparently after the Suda's Erisin, they would send us different matanos to the Kala, and they would have a Suda in her house, and that Suda was called a Suda Shnia. That's where we had a machlokas, Avul Suda Rishona, but the very first Suda after the Erisin, Divra, Kol Mitzvah, everyone holds it's a mitzvah, so then you don't even need to say that it's a machlokas, Afilu Tema, Hava Ha Rabbi Yehuda. You could say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of both the Mishnah and the Braisa, Velo Kasha, Hava Suda Rishona. Ha, besuda shniya, and there's not a stira. One is talking about the suda rishona. That's the Mishnah that considers this a mitzvah, and the brisa that considers it a rishos is talking about the suda shniya. Tanya, so says Gemara, we have a brisa. And once the Gemara quotes a brisa where we have machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi about whether sudas erusin is a mitzvah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Anilo Shamati El Sudas Erusin. I only have a tradition that a sudas erusin is a sudas mitzvah. Avalo sivlonos, but not the extra suda that they would have when the chassan would send the kala, whatever gifts they would send. That it used to be the practice that he would send gifts. It's still the practice of people send, you know, the chassan side buys the kala side, this and that, or whatever, you know. I don't know what it is, the shetel or the candlesticks or whatever the rules are, whenever you get the, I don't know who made the rules, I don't know who gets the rules, but whatever it is, that's how you'd send these gifts. So they make a suda in honor of the gifts. So Rabbi Yossi, Anisha Mati Sudas Erisin Visivlonos. And Rabbi Yossi said that I heard that both Sudas Erisin and Sivlonos are both the Sudas Mitzvah. So now the Gemara brings a brisa as far as the Isser of joining a Suuda that's not a Suudas Mitzvah, and it's going to talk about which kind of Erisin actually is a Sudas Mitzvah, and what kind of weddings or of unions of chasen and kala do we consider to be unfortunate? So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Suda Sheni Shal Mitzvah Ein Tamachachem Rasha Leanos Mimena. Any Suda that's not a Suda Shal Mitzvah Tamachachem cannot get Hanah from. Kigon Mai, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Gon Bas Kohen Li Yisrael Bas Tamachachem Lamaretz. If a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael, so that's downgrading her kedusha. She comes from a Mishpachem Yuchesis, and now she's got to marry a regular Yisrael, or a Bas Tamachachem to an Amaretz. She comes from royalty. Then Man Malki Rabbanan, and now she's got to marry an Amma Aretz. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Bas Kohen Li Yisrael Ein Zivugun Aliyafa. That when a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael, it's not going to be a good shidduch. So Maihi, what does it mean Ein Zivugun Aliyafa? What's going to happen to them? So Amar Rav Chista, oh Almana, she'll become an Almana. Oh Grusha, or they'll get divorced. Oh Zera Ein Lor, they won't have children. Like really terrible things. But Masnisa Tana, Kovra O Kovarto, she'll either die young or he'll die young. Oh Mivyasa Ledeyan, meaning normally in marriages, you know, Oh Kovra O Kovarto, someone's going to die before the other one. But the Chiddush over here is that it's going to be at in an untimely passing, that the person is going to die young. Omu v'yasul de'anius, or it will lead to his poverty. That if you have such a union that's inappropriate. So says Gemara, Eini, is that really true that Ein Zivuga Mala Yafa, that their shidduch is not going to work out if it's a bas kohen to a Yisrael? Meaning these things happen all the time. Bas kohen, can you imagine kind of shidduch crisis you create for bas kohen if you're took every Yisrael off the market. So Vam Rabbi Yochanan wrote Sashi is Asher, but to the contrary, Rabbi Yochanan says that if you want to become wealthy, Yidbak Vizara Shalaron, connect to Zara Shalaron HaKohen. Zara Shalaron, that's the way we refer to Kohanim both in Tanakh and in Talmud. That's why there are certain names that you can tell from a last name that someone is a Kohen, right? Kohen is usually a Kohen. Katz is Kohen Tzedek, is usually a Kohen. One of the lesser known ones that's also always a family of Kohanim is Meza. Meza is a family, Jackie Mason, right? Meza is a family of Kohanim. Why? Because it stands for Mizera Aaron HaKohen, right? That's the way we refer to Kohanim as Mizera Aaron HaKohen. So they're Yidbak Bezara Shel Aaron. So Kol Shken Sha Torah Ukuhuna Ma'ashartan, the Zchus of the Torah and the Zchus of the Kuhuna will give them wealth. So don't you see that it's a good thing? Says Merlo Kasha. Ha B'tam L'chacham Ha Ba'amar. It's not any Yisrael that's not allowed to marry a Kohen. It's only if it's Yisrael Ama Aretz. But if it's Yisrael Tam L'chacham, then he should marry a Kohen as a Bas Kohen. Rabbi Shua Nasav Kanter, Rabbi Shua married a Kohen as Cholash Amar Lo Nichalei La'aron Di Idbak Bezare Davle Chasana Kiyana. That when he got sick, he attributed it to the fact that he married above his station, and that Aaron HaKohen was unhappy that the likes of him married into Kuhuna. Ravi Di Baravin Nasav Kanter, Ravi Di Baravin married a Kohen as Nafku Minei Trei Bnei Smichi. But they were fortunate enough to have two children who became who got smicha for Rabbanus, Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi and Rav Shua Brei Dravidi. So they were a great nachas to the parents, and he attributed that to the zuchus of the kuna. Amrav Papa Ilona Sivna Kanta Lo Yatri. And Rav Papa said, you know, if I would not have married a Kohenes, I would not have been so wealthy. He became he was a wealthy person. The Gemara tells us that Rav Papa used to be a beer brewer, and apparently he had a big brewery and he made a lot of money that way. So he became very wealthy through that business, but he attributed it not because of his being such a master brewer. He attributed it to the fact that he married a Kohenes. Amar Rav Kahana said, Ilona Sivna Kanta Lo Galoi. If I would not have married a Kohenes, I would not have had to go into Galus. Meaning he thought that even though he's a Talmud Chacham, he thought that he was punished for marrying a Kohenes because he was not worthy of the Kuhuna, and that's why he had to go into Galus. So Amrulei, they said to Rav Kahana, V'lamakum Torah Galisa. What are you talking about? You went into a place that's a Makum Torah. So he says, yeah, but Lo Galoi Kedegali Inshi. But it wasn't the Derech, I didn't get to go on my own terms. The place of his Galus, ironically, was Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that he left Bavel and he ended up going to Eretz Yisrael. But the reason he had to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's a sugi v'bekam kuf yud zayin, that a person wanted to be Moser Mamun Chaveru to the Malchus, and they went to Rav, and Rav said not to give it, and he had a chutzpah against Rav, and he said that Rafal Pikein, he should give it, and that moment Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav, and since he saw this, he went and he killed the person, so he had to run away from Eretz Yisrael because he was a fugitive. So he said, you shouldn't have to go to Eretz Yisrael under those circumstances because you're a fugitive. I was just watching last week a question-answer session that Rav Asher Weiss Shlita did with Rabbi Yisrael Reisman's shul in Brooklyn. On they did one of these virtual dinners. So what they did for the dinner is they had a question-answer session with Rav Asher Weiss. So he said, with everything that's happening in America right now, this was before Wednesday, they asked him, with everything that's happening in America right now, should everyone just make Aliyah because the whole country is falling apart? So Rav Asher Weiss said, that's not why you should make Aliyah. You should make Aliyah because you're in love with Eretz Yisrael, and because Eretz Yisrael is the place that a person should be. It's not the, you know, that's the way to have to run away should not be the way to go. So that's what I'm kind of saying, that I had to go in such an unnatural way. Tosos on the top of Amud Beis points out that it's mashma over here that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen, which is difficult because Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that he received Pidyon HaBen money. So how is he allowed to receive Pidyon HaBen money if he was not a Kohen? So Tosos says it was because of his wife that he received, that his wife was able to receive, which itself is somewhat of a Chiddush. But anyway, that's what the implication of this Gemara is, that even though his name was Kahana, he was not in fact a Kohen. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kolanen Misudas Rishus L'Sov Golus. Someone who gets Hana from Misudas Rishus, meaning Misudas, not Misudas Mitzvah, goes into Golus, Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Amos says, Va'ochlum kara mitzon, va'agolim mitoch marbek, uksiv, l'cheinata yiglu barosh golim, that after it talks about eating sheep and eating agolim, so then it talks about going into Golus. Tan Rabban, kol tamil chacham ar marbesu udasa b'chol makom, tamil chacham who eats too much, has sudos everywhere, sof machrives beso, ultimately he's going to destroy his house, because he's going to spend all the money, uma almina sishto, his wife is going to become an almana. Rashi says, doesn't mean that he's literally going to to die. It just means that he's gonna have to run away because he's gonna owe so much money that he's never gonna be home and his wife is gonna be all alone. Umiyatim is kozalov. He's gonna turn his children into yisomim. Again, not literally yisomim, but he's gonna have to run away so his children won't have a father around. V'talmud mishtakech mimenu. He's gonna forget his learning. Umachlokos rabbos bosalov. And he's gonna have a lot of machlokos in halacha because he forgets his learning. So he's always gonna think he knows, but he's never really gonna know. Udvaravenim nishmaim. People aren't gonna accept what he has to say. Machal shem shmaim b'shem rabbos b'shem aviv. And he's gonna be machal the name of anyone who's associated with him, because people are going to say not nice things about him. V'gorim shem ra lo ulvanu v'bnei banav atzov kaladoros, and his descendants are all going to have a negative association with him. So ma'hi, what does it mean? It's going to be a shem ra to his descendants. So Gemara says a number of things. Amar bai karulei, they're going to call his children. What are the kids in the schoolyard going to call his children on account of this guy? So they're going to call him bar mechem tanuri. His children are the children of the guy that heats up the ovens in order to always have fresh hot bread because he's such a glutton. Rava Amar Bar Mrakid Bekuvi. They're going to call him the son of the one who dances in the stores in order to get some people spare change so he can buy more booze so that he can get drunk. Rav Papa Amar Bar Malachich Pinchi. They're going to call his children the son of the person who licks clean his plate because he's such a baltaiva, he can't leave any food behind. Rav Shmaya Amar Bar Mach Rava. That they're going to call him the son of the person who sleeps on folded clothing, meaning instead of going home and getting in pajamas and sleeping like a mensch, he's going to be in a drunken stupor. He's just going to take off his jacket and make a pillow of it and sleep on the street like that. That's how we describe such a person who's so gluttonous. So now the Gemara talks about the maila of marrying a bas talmid chacham and the problem of marrying a bas amaretz. Now it's important to note that all of the things that we're going to say about an amaretz, some very harsh things we're about to say about an amaretz, the poskim struggle with what exact type of amaretz are we referring to. Meaning amaretz can mean a lot of things. Amaretz means someone who just doesn't know a lot of Torah, but could be Shomer Torah Mitzvos and, believes in Hashem. But Amaretz could be someone who not only doesn't know very much, but also doesn't observe very much. And it could also be someone who doesn't know and doesn't observe and has this deep hatred for religion in general. So all of those things mean Amaretz. Some of those apply, some of the things we're going to say apply to type 1 Amaretz, even to type 1 Amaretz. Some only apply to type 3 of the three types that we described. So that's the struggle, figuring out what applies to what. We're not going to have time to go through it now, but just keep that in mind. So Tad Rabbanan, the Olam Yukradim, Kol Mashiyesh of Yisa Bas Tamil Chacham. A person should sell everything he has in order to marry a Bas Tamil Chacham. Shem Meis or Gola, because if he dies or he ends up going into Galus, Muftach Lo Shabbanav Tamid Chacham, meaning a person never knows how long they're going to live. They don't know if they're going to even be around to raise their children. So one should think about the fact, what would happen if I wasn't around to raise my children? So if you marry a Bas Tamil Chacham, you know that she knows how to raise B'nai Torah. She grew up in a house of Torah. She'll probably enlist her parents' help in raising the children, and they know how to raise children along the line of Talmid Chacham, so they'll raise them to learn properly. Va'al Yisa Bas Ha'aretz Shemei Sagola. Even if you say, no, I'll have what to say in my children's chinuch, but you don't know that, and therefore if he's Mei Sagola, Banav Amei Aretz, and you married a Bas Ha'aretz, so the children are going to be Amei Aretz. Some of the poskim say that a lot of this doesn't apply as much nowadays, because nowadays girls are not only educated in the home, they go to school. So a girl who goes to Beis Yaakov for 12 years and then to some intense seminary where she learns all, she learns so much Torah and she learns about the value of Torah, so maybe it doesn't apply as much. It's hard to say that it doesn't apply at all, because one cannot underestimate the influence of a home, particularly when it relates to Talmidei Chachamim, meaning a lot of times I've had a lot of Talmidim who married girls who supposedly very much wanted a husband who was a Talmid Chacham. Look, they wanted a learner earner, they wanted some money too, but they wanted a husband who was a Talmid Chacham until they chapped what it means. That it means he's got to wake up so early to do the daf. He's got to go to night seder. He's got to learn. They weren't interested in that. They wanted to, play board games all night. They didn't know that. So a person grew up in a home where there was a Talmid Chacham in the home, they understand what that means. They're not just repeating what they heard in seminary. They understand what the words mean. They understand what the reality of a Talmud Chacham is. So you can't say that it's gone entirely, but certainly it has shifted somewhat now that there is an education. Most of a girl's education, at least formal education, is outside of the home. Tadra Rabbanan, Lo Lam Yimkor Adam Kol Mashiyesh Lo V'Yisa Bas Talmud Chacham. Person sell everything he's got in order to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. V'Yasi Bito Talmud Chacham. Marry your daughter off stuff to a Talmud Chacham. Both of these are a requirement. I think they tell the Maisa, maybe it was the Avnei Nezer, when he was very young, he was already in Eloy. I forget which Gadol was. Maybe it was Rav Yonah Naipshitz. I don't remember. But they were fighting over who gets to, he was a prize, you know, to be able to marry your daughter off to him. And one of the potential fathers-in-law gave him a bechina, and he kept on going at him. He didn't ask a couple of questions. He kept on asking over and more and more and more. And the kid, at the time, was 13 years old, and they're already fighting over him. He said, okay, now it's time for me to give you a bechina, he said to the father-in-law. And the father-in-law said, Mehechi Teis. He said, well, the Gemara says, not only do you marry your daughter off to the Talmud Chacham, you have to marry the Abbas Talmud Chacham. Elamai, why is the minhag not to do that, that the kid doesn't give the father-in-law? Because he has a chazaka that probably the father-in-law's father-in-law gave him a bechina. So he probably passed his Bechina. But obviously, by the fact that you're asking me so many questions, you're not relying on Chazaka. So if you're not going to rely on Chazaka, I'm not going to, after my first three questions, you should have known that I know how to answer. You rely on a Chazaka for the rest. So I'm not going to rely on a Chazaka either. And he wanted to give a Bechina. Some of the Shidduch didn't work out. Mashal, the Inveya Geffen, the Inveya Geffen. And this is a Mashal for Inveya Geffen, Binveya Geffen, Dover No Umiskabel. That's that it's such a wonderful thing. Everyone's so excited to hear when two wonderful families join. Veloyisa Basama Aretz, but you should not marry a basam aretz. Mashal inve agefen binve asne. There's a daf yomi coincidence. Today's parsha, the sne, that it's a mashal of inve agefen to the inve hasne. Dover ka'ur ve'eno miskabel, which does not make for as nice a song. Tan rabban liolam yimkar adam kol ma sheyesh lo. A person should sell everything he's got. V'yisa basam chacham in order to marry a basam chacham. Lo matzah basam chacham. If you can't marry a basam chacham, yisa bas gedolei ador. At least marry the bas gedolei ador. Gedolei ador doesn't mean what we use it to mean nowadays. Nowadays we talk Gedolei Adar, we talk about super Talmidei Chachamim. No, Rashi points out it meant people who are very righteous in their performance of mitzvos, but not such great Talmidei Chachamim. Lo matzo bas Gedolei Adar, if you can't find bas Gedolei Adar, yisa bas Rashi Knesios. You should marry people who take communal responsibilities. Lo matzo bas Rashi Knesios, yisa bas Gabei Tzedakah. Then marry the person who's got to have the integrity to be a Gabei Tzedakah. Lo matzo bas Gabei Tzedakah, yisa bas Melam de Tinokos. If you can't find a bas Gabei Tzedakah, you should marry a bas Melam de Tinokos. V'lo yisa bas Ame'aretz m'nei shein sheketz n'ushosein sheretz. And don't marry a bas Ame'aretz because the Amaratzim are sheketz and their wives are sheretz. They're not careful about mitzvos. V'al b'noseinu omer arur shochev m'kol behema. Very harsh language. And about their daughters, it's like being shochev with a behema to be shochev because they have no depth, no intellect, much like a behema. So Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Ame'aretz asu lechol basar, an amaretz should not eat meat. Shenemar, zos toras habehema va'ov. Pasuk says, zos toras habehema va'ov. So from the fact the word Torah is juxtaposed with the behema va'ov, we darshin, kolosik, betorah, mutter lechol basar behema va'ov, kol shenos, betorah, asu lechol basar behema va'ov. That only a person who learns Torah is allowed to enjoy basar behema va'ov. Amar blazar, amaretz mutter lenochro. You're allowed to tear open an amaretz, like when they dissect the body, even if it's a Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos. So the Talmidim said, Rebbe, Emor L'shochto, why do you have to use such vicious language? Just say Shchita. I know what you mean, but just say Shchita, meaning Dav Gimel, Psachim Dav Gimel. Speak Balasha Naki. Why do you have to say L'nochro? So I'm learning Zeton Bracha, Zenoton Bracha, because Shchita gets a Bracha, Vala Shchita. The Amaretz isn't worth a Bracha. So he Davka used such a harsh language. You got to imagine, we're not just talking about a person who happens to not be knowledgeable of Torah when we talk about, when we're talking about these kinds of things about an Amaretz. Amar Rav Lazar, Amaretz asur l'slavos imo baderech, that it's asur to travel together with an Amaretz, shenemar, because the Pasuk says with regard to limudat Torah, ki chayechav arachimecha, that Torah gives a person arichus yamim. So if the guy doesn't learn Torah, al chayev lochas, he's not even careful about his own life, so al chayechav er lokolshken, he's certainly not going to be makbid about your life. And when you're traveling, you may face a dangerous situation, you need to be with someone who might protect you. Amar Rav Shoban, you could tear him open like a fish. You could tear him from the back, which is a makashen l'refua, where he's not going to be able to live anymore. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva recalled how he used to, his attitude from when he used to be an Ama Aretz. Amarti, I used to say, that I would bite a Talmud Chacham like a donkey. So the Talmidim said, Rabbi, am Amor Kakelev. Who talks like that? That they bite like a donkey? You bite like a dog. That's the proper word to use. So Amalei Rabbi Akiva said, no, I dafka said donkey. Zen no sheikh v'shover etzem. V'zen no sheikh v'shover etzem. You get a dog bite, the dog rips through your skin and your flesh a little bit. A donkey bite you, breaks your bones. That's how badly I wanted to hurt Talmidei Chachamim. Tanya Remeir Omer Kalamesi Bita Lamaretz Kilukov Somenichlof Ne'ariv. Someone marries his daughter off to an Amaretz, it's as if he ties her up and puts her in front of a lion. Ma'ari Doris V'yochel. Just like an Ari jumps and attacks and eats right away. It doesn't even wait for the person to die. Ve'ilo Boshas Padim, and there's no busha from that. Ava Ma'aretz Maka Ubawel. So to an Amaretz will physically abuse his wife and bebawel her and doesn't wait to be Mefayeser. And really, the halachas person is chayv to be Mefayeser Sishto before he's bawel her. Ve'ilo Boshas Padim, and he's not even embarrassed by that. Tainer Blazor Mel Malayanu Tzrichel Nahem Lamasu Matan Hayu Horgano Sanu. If not for the fact that the Amaretz need us to run their businesses, they would kill us. Tani Reb Chiya Kala Osik B'Torah. If Lefnei Amaretz, if someone engages in Torah learning in front of an Amaretz, Kilu Boel Arusasum Befanav. It's as if he's being Boel the Amaretz's Arusa right in front of his face, because Torah is considered the Arusa of the Amaretz because he never had Nisuin with the Torah. He never really fully connected to the Torah. So and here you are connecting with the Torah in a way the Amaretz has not yet had the opportunity to do so. So that's why it's like he's Boel Arusaso Bebeis Chamav. Reminds me of the old joke. My brother told me he was once in Rabbi Tendler Shlita's shul and for Simchas Torah, and they gave someone Chasen Torah, and Rabbi Tendler said, oh, this Chasen Torah is a Chasidish Chasen. He never met the Kala before in his life. That's the idea of Nisuin with the Torah, that a person should be married to the Torah. Shenemar Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Marasha Al Tikri Marasha Ela Ma'orasa, that the Torah should be in Erison with us. Gedola Sinish Son Amaretz Tamachacham Yosem Sinish Son of the Chavmes Yisrael. The anti-Semitism, the hatred for Talmidei Chachamim is greater when it comes from an Amaretz than when it comes from Novik Chavim. When the same Yosem Ayan and the wives of the Amaretz are even worse than them. Tana Shanu Pirish Yosem Yikulun. And the worst of all of them? Is someone who was shanu upiris, someone who was educated properly and has since abandoned the path. There's actually a tshuva in Minchas Yitzchak, which is an interesting hava amina to even raise a question about. But there's a tshuva in Minchas Yitzchak. Someone wanted to know: are you allowed to give a shir and teach Torah in a place where there are a lot of amei aretz there? Is this a violation of what the Gemara says that if you're lomei Torah in front of an amei aretz, it's like you're being boel in arusa? So obviously, no. I mean, you try to educate the people, try to teach more Torah to the people. There's also a famous tshuva in the Nadav Yehuda, which this is a much more well-known tshuva. The Nadav Yehuda in Madura Tinyana, in Ebn Ezer Simen Ayin Tes, was asked about the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, where Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes in his tzava that a person should not marry someone who has the same name as their parent. A boy should not marry a girl with the same name as his mother. A girl should not marry a boy with the same name as his father. So they asked Nadav Yehuda whether one needs to be makbid about that tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So Nadav Yehuda writes, Umama Odani Tama al Rova Olam Bizmanenu. He says, I just don't get people nowadays. Sherotzim Lakayim Lahakbit Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. They're so careful to fulfill the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Kigon Shelo Yeshem HaChassim Kshem Chama Velo Yeshem HaKala Kshem Chamosa. These name things. Sheilu Dvarim Shum Yisod B'Shas. It doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. Anything like this. V'ilu Lasei Ses Bitom Lama Aretz. But to marry the daughter of the Lama Aretz, Pasha Netzlam Leheter. That they don't even ask a Shaila. That they think is for sure mutter. Vein Mishachosh Eishli Mana Mikach. They don't even think of turning down such a Shidduch, as long as he has a good job. Vein Shoel Vein Mavakish. No one asks such a Shaila. But it's directly against what Chazal say. That we shouldn't treat the Torah as if it's on a lower madrega than the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. I'm often asked that shaila, by the way. A guy has read the shidduch and he wants to know, but the girl's name is one of the names is the same name as one of my mother's names or something like that. Usually it's only one of the names. It's not both names. So probably the concern Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, or at least the concern that people have, is that it's going to lead to a pagam in the kibbut of aim, that you're going to call your spouse by their name in front of your parent, and then it's ki'ilu you're calling your parent by their name. So a post can recommend is call your spouse something else. My wife calls me all sorts of names that aren't really my name. So you can you could call you call your spouse by some other name. And then you know, if like in my family we have like that. My sister who lives in Ramat Eshkol married a boy by the name of Chaim Shlomo. My father is Chaim Yitzchak, so we call him Chaim Shlomo. We don't call him we don't just call him by his first name. I always tell people, Rav Moshe Feinstein had two sons-in-law. He had two daughters. So the two daughters married Rav Moshe Shiskal and Rav Moshe Tendler. So okay, so somehow Rav Moshe Feinstein was good enough for Rav Moshe Feinstein. All right. So says Gemara just a little bit more. Tan Rabban Shishin Dvarim Nemru Ba Me'aretz. There are six things about an Am Haaretz. Ein Moslem Lam Edus. Don't try to make them an aid by telling them, come witness this and testify about it for me later. Vein Mekablim Menu Edus. Don't trust them about an aid because he's Chashar Al Shvu. He's Chashar Al Gezel. Vein Megalim. So don't trust them with any secret because they're going to be Holich Rachel. Don't al Yisomim. Don't give it, make them the caretaker of the properties of Yisomim. Vein manos an apotropos al kupa shel tzedaka. Don't make them an apotropos over a kupa shel tzedaka, over tzedaka funds. Vein misavnim on baderach. Don't travel with them. Yesham mafin machriz na levidaso. Don't even announce when they lose an object. Tosa says, if you don't know whose object it is, how do you know that it's an Amaretz? How do you know that an Amaretz lost it? So Tosa says it must be that a caravan of Amaratzim came by and it fell out of the caravan. So there was a trip, and on the side of the school bus it said B'nei Amaretz or something, and something fell out of that. So now you know it came from an Amaretz. V'tanakama zimnin denafik minei zara ma'al yava achile. And the Tanakama holds that you are machriz about an aved of an Amaretz. Says no, sometimes the Amaretz has a child who's a ben Torah, and he'll benefit from it. Shenemar yachin v'tzadik Gilbash Paskiniyev says that Russia should be Yachin Begadav, even because in the end the tzaddik will be lovish those begadim. So that's why you should be machriz al avidaso, because it could be that he's going to have children who are going to be ksherim, who are going to be tamid chacham. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from there toward the bottom of the page. Everyone, agot avach. Thank you so much for coming out to learn tonight.